The title of the message this morning is A Step of Maturity. In order for me to minister this message, I'm going to have to require by faith a step of maturity from you. It's 12:44 on the digital up here, which means that I can't shorten this message and accomplish what God wants to do. This is a 60-minute message. And some of you are going to have a real difficulty after you heard the message was coming forth. You had your eyes set perhaps on a little sunshine and a leisurely afternoon. And I understand that. I've experienced that at times myself. But I wonder if you would, with me today, allow God these 60 minutes in your life to do what He desires to do. I wouldn't preach this if I didn't feel it was exceedingly appropriate at this hour. But God desires to do a work here. He desires us, now that this has been brought forth, to take that step of maturity that He's talked about. This is exceedingly practical. Will you, with me together, receive what God wants to give you this hour and this next coming hour, in Jesus' name? I'll be speaking from 1 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Peter speaking to the strangers scattered, it says, throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Peter speaking to the strangers, not strangers perhaps to Peter. These were brethren. These were the elect. But strangers in this world. And he's saying in 1 Peter 1 verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of thy mind." Gird up the loins of thy mind. Now we are feeling out of touch with society, but I trust we're starting to feel in touch with the Spirit of the living God. And God would say unto us in this hour, gird up the loins of thy mind. In speaking of the custom of girding up, we know of the Hebrew custom. They wore robes rather than these polyester slacks that feel exceedingly uncomfortable after you've been in church 3 hours. They wore a robe. And if they were to do anything serious, if they wanted to run, if they wanted to fight, or really apply themselves to any vigorous business, they had to gird up their robe about them and tie it tightly about them. And so he's speaking of this practice of girding up, preparing for a battle, preparing for a vigorous exercise in the mind. And he's talking about the loins here, the very center of a man, the part of a man that you pivot from, the part that where every change of direction must follow the loins. The loins will show you exactly where a man is going. You can be deceived by his feet, by his eyes, but when those loins move, when the center part of a man moves, you know that he's changed direction. And now he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind, the very central part of your will that causes you to change direction, that causes you to make decisions. Talking about the will, if you please. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, are we talking about a physical battle? He's saying, get geared up for a battle. Be intense, concentrate, use your mind. Not a physical battle, but a mental battle. We speak of mind battles many times. And he's saying, get ready to go to war with your thoughts. Like Ephesians 6:14, speaking of the armor of the man of God, he said, have your loins girt with truth. Gird about with truth. Gird your loins about with truth. In other words, let anything that comes close to the inner man be truth, not error. Let your thinking begin to arrange for you the truth about your loins, the loins of your mind. So anytime you are about to change direction in your life, you be sure that the only thing close to that decision-making process is truth. In other words, this sermon is an exhortation to think. It is an exposé also of error. We are entering in, I believe, to an era of deception, where many saints of God, because they have not yielded their mind and used the tool God has given them, the Word of God and their ability to reason, will fall prey. The age of Laodicea will come to pass. We know that. Many, many will apostatize. Many will fall away. And one of the chief reasons, one of the key things, will be lack of clear thought in the body of Christ. The loins will not be girded with truth. Scripture warns us not to reason ourselves astray, does it not? It doesn't say not to reason. If you are living in the truth and holding it close to the central part of your mind, it is impossible to reason yourself astray. But the onslaught of demonic spirits will work primarily through lying emotions. Now, there are many kinds of lying emotions. I desire to expose many of them today. At the close of this, I believe you will see, as I have, That emotions are not something you rely and you base your life upon. Rather, the Word of God and thought is to be the key. There are many emotions we experience. One we experience at times is the emotion of, I don't fit. I just don't fit. I don't belong here. No one likes me. And I don't really do much in this church anyway. I had an interesting experience last Thursday. I don't know whether to classify it as interesting or distressing. It was something distressing to me at the time. It no longer is. I had business to transact on the other campus, and I was walking over there. There wasn't anything particularly wrong with my life, and my relationships with all those I love was good. And as I was walking down that path that comes down the backside of the chapel property, I began to feel this emotion that I didn't fit here anymore, that nobody really loved me, and they'd be happier if I was gone. And I don't know how to tell you how real this was, because it was not something that I customarily experienced. It was way beyond any normal experience of emotion that I have had for a long time. And it was so overwhelming, I didn't know quite what to do with it, because it came complete with the conclusion. There would be a jet taking off. I could see it in the distance. And the conclusion would just about transpose me on that vehicle and say, there you go. You're going to leave. You're going to be gone. You may as well tell them, you know. And this thing was so overwhelming, I went and transacted my business, and I was there, and I said, you know, I better get some counsel. This doesn't, you know, this is not me. I knew that in the back of my mind. This thing was saying, it's a demon. And it's like I had that knowledge, but something more real was upon me, and that was the emotion of this thing. It was emotion that was complete. It was as though it was done. It was as though it was proved. And yet I had no proof. There was no one that had even intimated that they didn't love me or like me for any reason that I could think of. Nothing had happened. I believe God allowed me to experience that because things are going to come upon the body of Christ, and we must be ready. We must have our minds girded with truth, lest we fall prey to the enemy. Many do this every day. Many fall prey to the enemy every day because they fail to think. But as this thing began to build, I went and sought counsel, and it was hard to find someone to counsel me because I thought they're going to say, yeah, you're right, Jerry, we really don't like you, and we'd rather you left. Now, that's so far from the truth, and when I'm without, it's so easy for me to know that. But when you are feeling this demonic oppression, it's another matter, isn't it? You are blinded temporarily for a moment, and there is only one thing that will set you free, and that is the truth of the Word of God. Scripture. Scripture must be around the loins of our mind at those moments. There will be onslaughts of demonic experiences like this upon many. I believe there already have been. I believe some have yielded. Now, the counselor I went to said some things that helped me, but they didn't help me much because I wasn't real clear with him. Because I looked at myself and I said, well, you know, I've been around here a long time, and I know this isn't true. And what's he going to think if I go in there and say, I feel like leaving and nobody loves me? How immature. I just couldn't do that. I couldn't bring myself to that. But I want to warn you, saints, you had better do that. If you feel these overwhelming things, you had better go to the counselor and bare your heart. And then to the two of you together can rebuke these things and you can be free. But if you don't, you may not find the counsel satisfactory. But one thing this brother did is he hugged me as I left. And I said, aha, he loves me. Get out of here. He didn't know what was going on, see. That thing lifted, and I decided, I said, I'm going to go to the Word of God because I know I'm not alone in this, and I want the people of God to be free. If the demons come upon us like that, we might stumble. But if we know in advance the ploy of the enemy, we're going to be safe. We experience other emotions. There can be emotions of, I'm a failure. I've never really succeeded in anything. I'm just wasting my time and yours here. Those are lying emotions. There are other emotions of, I don't care. I don't really believe. Those emotions of lethargy, the give up emotion. Those are exceedingly hard to deal with if you start to yield to them. We've got to be careful in those areas. These are very real, and they can be almost overwhelming. And I stress almost. Only one thing will combat them, that being truth. Prayer does help. The reason prayer helps is because we pray truth, and the truth is what sets us free. Coming to church helps, but the reason that helps is because we see and hear songs of truth and victory. Those set us free. It's the words that go forth. that line up with the Word of God. That is what does the work in our hearts. But first of all, let's look, if we can, what is emotion? What is emotion? An emotion is a strong, generalized feeling. It's affecting the physical body and the soul. Very literally, it is a feeling. An emotion is a feeling. It can come from the thoughts, and it generally does. But emotions can also come from other inputs as well, be they physiological or spiritual. And they can cause you then to start thinking along a certain line. The emotion itself is not the final product, and it should not be. The body can be sick and ill, and it can input your soul so that you experience emotions. Or a demon can come and input your soul and begin to put pressure on you so you will experience emotions. Or God can come and input your spirit, and again, you will experience emotions. Emotions are sort of a reflex to the soul. Like the knee has a reflex action. When you hit it, it kicks out, unless you're dead. But none of us are dead totally emotionally, and most of us are quite alive. And so you are experiencing a reflex to different inputs upon your soul. You've got to be aware that these cannot always be trusted, nor can they be discarded. Emotions can be out of phase totally with circumstances and even your thoughts. Most of you have experienced that. That is because they will respond at times to a spiritual input which your mind is unaware of. Let me give you some four instances so that you can relate these to your life and begin to see what I'm saying. You could be at a fellowship perhaps given in your honor, and there could be most of your friends there, and they could all be expressing how they love you, how they appreciate you, and how much they think of you, and so on. And this can be a wonderful experience, but in the midst of it, you can experience an emotion of sadness, unloved spirit, loneliness, right there in that very circumstance. You could see a tragic accident. You could hear people cry and scream, and you could have absolutely no emotion at all. You could be completely unmoved, although this is happening in front of you, like running over a sparrow or something. No emotion. On the other hand, you can care for someone very much and highly esteem them. You can be willing to die for them and feel absolutely no emotion of love at times. Yet you do love them, and you feel no emotion, just deadness, nothing toward them. Or, on the other hand, you can feel a tremendous love for somebody that you've just met. You don't know them at all. You don't know if you have one thing in common, but you feel love for them. That's an emotion. You could feel very happy when praying in tongues, not even knowing what you prayed about. That's happened to most of us at times. Your mind has been bypassed. It did not input that emotion. The Spirit of God did. You can feel depressed and sad, even though you might have come to a situation that ordinarily should make you very happy. It can be something you look forward to a long time. And you can go and do it, and you feel depression. You feel sadness. That's happened to most of us at times. You can feel grouchy and irritable. You can even feel a hatred towards someone. And really, they haven't done a thing wrong to you. And your mind knows that. But you have that feeling of irritability, or you just don't like them. And you feel a hatred, maybe, even if it's really strong. You can feel a tremendous fear. You can walk into your house. You've done it a million times. You walk in, and a fear comes over you. Nothing unusual. Your mind has seen nothing. But the emotion of fear will well up in you. It's not as though you looked around the corner and saw a machine gun there. Nothing. You can feel that emotion of fear without any reason for it. Many, many times your emotions will not line up with the truth. Yet, the error, I believe, is this, that we probably generally put more faith in our emotions and our feelings than in our knowledge of the Word of God. That is the truth, church. That is the step of maturity we must take today in order for God to accomplish what He desires to do in us. Someone will come up to you and they'll look you in the eye and they'll say, "I really love you." You feel no emotion. You feel nothing. So you reject it intellectually. You say, "Can't be. I feel nothing from that person. He's just saying it." That happens all the time. The truth is, what did they say? They said they loved you. The truth is, they do love you. You've got to accept that, whether you have emotion to accompany that or not. God will say to us, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we feel left out and forsaken, do we not? So what do? We believe the lie. Oh, we struggle a little bit, but the emotion is more real than what? The Word of God that shall stand forever. We believe the lie. And God would be sorely distressed at us at that moment, for He's given us His Word. He said, I'm not a man that I should lie. Yet we believe the emotion. Sometimes we feel rejected by someone without any evidence at all for that feeling. We just feel a rejection. We see them, maybe they look at us and walk away or something. We feel rejected by them. The pastor spoke about that the other night. We accept that as fact and discard all evidence to the contrary. All truth. We discard it. Because why? The emotion was there. Surely the emotion wouldn't lie. But that is not the case. A lot of us know we love God. In fact, all of us should know we love God if we're saved. Your whole life, church, is centered around the Lord. You come to church, you worship, you seek Him, you go to Bible college, you have Bible studies, you do all the things you can to grow in God, you pray, you seek the face of God. And yet at times you do not feel any love for God. No feeling, no emotion, deadness. And immediately you begin to question whether you really love God. But your life is living proof that you do. A lot of times we feel jealous. Jealous of others because it seems God uses them, or God is giving them this gift, or God is blessing them. He slays them in the Spirit. And after all, we know we walk more righteous than they. We feel a sense of being excluded. We begin to question immediately if God really is a respecter of persons. Although in His Word He says, I am not a respecter of persons, we question it. We yield to the emotion rather than the truth. Sometimes we feel useless and small and insignificant. And so we conclude we are really of no value to the body of Christ. In fact, I've had many tell me, this place would be better off without me. Untrue, saints. God has given us an analogy, a body. He said, you are part of the body of Christ. You tell me what part of your body you can do away with. You cut it off. Leave it in the garbage can on the door on your way out. You need every part. My, do you need every part. Doctors for a time believed you don't need the tonsils, see? And every time somebody come in with a sore throat, they'd be there with their scalpel ready to slice them out. But since then, a lot of them have come to the conclusion that, well, they're a part of the body for a reason. They filter out poisons and you need them. They're valuable to you. We are deceived, I believe, when we think that we are useless to the body of Christ. We are exceedingly valuable to the body of Christ. A difficult area. Sometimes we feel God has led us to do so and so. And so we submit it and it flops. Oh, trouble comes here. And many of you have experienced that. And so you feel hurt. You feel either the one that you submitted to is misled, or else God deceived you just to trick you to get you in trouble. Or else, if you're real generous, you'll say the demons did it. But you need to submit and say, truth, this man is led of God. He watches for my soul and he knows exactly what I need. No, he's not infallible. But if you submit 99.9% of the time, he will know what to do. And he will do it. Instead of trying every spirit by lining it up with the Word of God, we go on the emotion and we jump off the deep end and find out, woo, we can't swim after all. Praise be to God that He's given us a covering and a safety. Saints, we feel, and we feel some more. Most of us should probably feel less and think more. We should gird up the loins of our mind. We should think. Going by feelings is like proving theology by types and parables. You are in trouble. The ability to experience feelings is indeed God-given, but it is always to be subject to reason and truth. Feelings are good. I don't want to give you the impression they are not, but only if they do not control you. If your feelings control you, you are in trouble, saints. Like the ability to taste. Consider this. God has given us a sense of taste. Why? So we could enjoy eating. Imagine if you had no sense of taste. It'd be like eating dirt every day. That would be exceedingly boring, would it not? But he's given us feelings because he wants to enrich in our interpersonal communications and our life here on earth. He's given us the ability to feel and have emotion. That is his will. It's wonderful. But just as the sense of taste is wonderful, it must come into line with truth. One, you don't keep eating just because it tastes good. You've got to stop, or you grow and you grow and you grow and you grow. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to get obese. You don't want to yield to the devil and become trapped by this good sense of taste. Rather, you want to use your mind and say, that's enough. Thank you. I don't think I'll have seconds. Thanks anyway. Same thing with feelings. Feelings are there to enrich in your life. But you've got to say, now wait a minute. The first thing you consult is not, oh, the feeling says, but rather, what is the truth? What does the Word of God say about this? What are the principles in this matter? What does reality say? It all lines up, saints. God doesn't lead us like a rat through a maze after a piece of cheese. We have knowledge. We're friends of God. He has revealed many things to us. Therefore, the process needs to always be, first, consider truth, principle, reason. Then, consider the emotions. Let the weight of evidence be on the reason. This is exceedingly important. This is also exceedingly simple. However, this is sometimes, I admit, hard to do. Why is that? Are emotions overwhelming? Are emotions physically controlling? No, they are not. The will can override emotion as well as pain. Do you realize even a stronger sense is pain, that your will can override that? I used to room with men in college before I was saved. And they had a little thing they would do on Saturday nights. I don't know why. I never would participate in it. But they would go and they would go to this pizza place where they had a little candle in the middle of the table. And they would hold their hand over it to see how long they could stand it. And they'd time each other. And the next day they'd have these ugly blisters. I mean, it was gross. But they wanted to prove that they were stronger in their will than the other guys at the table. Man can do exceedingly tremendous things with his will. And what I am saying is that your will is sufficient to give you the victory in these emotional situations. Some of you may experience emotions that say, maybe I really hate housework. This is mundane. I just hate this kind of stuff. But you do it anyway. Why? Not because of the emotion. It's not goading you on. But because truth says you do all things as unto the Lord. You will please the heart of God, and so you do it anyway. Emotion or no emotion. We give the emotions way too much glory. We say all the time, I feel this, and I feel that. And many times we should probably be saying, I think this, and I think that. We should let people know our mind is in gear, and we're not just walking around like a rubber ball. Now, there are times when you will feel things, and it will be a leading of God. So it is not improper to say, I feel, because God will work through our emotions and goad us with feelings. But we must be careful what we say. We should think. We should think. We should, if we feel something, we should immediately say, if you feel people don't love you or something, you should immediately say, this, now wait a minute, I feel this, but this is what they said. This is what I saw, and this is what the Word of God says. If you'll follow those simple steps, a lot of times you will see the emotion was sent to deceive you, quite frankly. Therefore, this is truth. You come to a conclusion based on fact, not on emotion. And you say, thus, the truth is, they love me. I disregard the other feeling. I disregard it. You can do that. Do you realize that? You can disregard that feeling. Usually the emotion will subside as the mind is in gear, usually. But what we are usually doing is we feel, and because we feel, we look for any trivial piece of data that will support the feeling. That is a mistake. We say in our mind, I know I feel this way for a reason. I feel depressed. There must be a reason for that. I wouldn't feel depressed if there wasn't a reason. And so our mind says, catalog of negative things. Let's find the Oh, yeah. I haven't got a raise lately. Oh, no. My daughter's sick. Oh, yes, I remember that. Oh, yes, and that too. Oh, and my house needs paint. And pretty soon you've justified this negative feeling. When in fact you should do the opposite and say, now wait a minute, negative emotion? Who are we speaking to? A son of God redeemed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Why should I be depressed? I am going to glory. Where are you going? You are the one that's depressed. And so you've got to turn these things around with the facts in the Word of God. Feelings are not the result of logic always. At times they are. Feelings are subject to the spiritual realm. You can't see it, but you feel its impact on your soul many times. My, I feel this is important for the church because I feel, in essence, it's harder to battle lying emotions that work within than it would be to face, say, a physical persecution from the outside. We've got to realize our enemy is subtle, and he's chosen to work differently here in this nation than perhaps he works in other places. The Word says the last day church will be bowed over. Now, if your mind says, oh, that probably means Russia will take over, they'll send us all to Siberia and we'll be in the salt mines, you may miss it. It may be the demonic spirits will have greater intensity and they will bow over the saints by their own power. Only the truth will set you free. Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind, think, use truth. So you will be obedient to the truth. You will not fashion yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge. You lack knowledge every time you fail to think. It may not be that you didn't go to Bible college. It may be that you just didn't think. This is why, in the same text of Scripture, verse 6 and 7, Peter says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Here he's saying, greatly rejoice, although you're in heaviness. Now that may seem to some to be an incongruity. They may say, well, that's hypocrisy. I mean, if I'm feeling sad, I should act sad. Most of you have experienced that. I have several times in services where they'll be singing, I rejoice, I rejoice. I have a feeling of sadness. And if I consult that feeling, I don't rejoice. But if I say, now wait a minute, by faith I rejoice. I am happy. I don't care what this lying emotion says. Before long, what happens? Feelings of joy begin to well up in you. They will submit themselves to your decisions, but you must step out and begin to implement the truth rather than let these deceptive spirits rule your life. Rejoice even though your feelings may tell you contrary. Don't say, why do I feel this way? Get rid of that. Don't dialogue with the devil. Get rid of it and begin to say, the truth says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I have an inheritance in glory. Get out of here. We must choose truth. Truth says you are kept by the power of God through faith, verse 5. Truth says you are begotten unto a lively hope, verse 3. Now sometimes you say, I feel hopeless. I just really feel hopeless. What does truth say? You're begotten unto a lively hope. Therefore, emotion of hopelessness, go in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you've got to get aggressive. You've got to say, Lord, I command my emotions to come into line with the truth of the Word of God. I am a body, soul, and spirit. You have not wanted me to grow up. It's like sickness, see? You've got dominion over this body, so take it in the name of Jesus. Truth says you are begotten unto an inheritance incorruptible. That's wonderful news. I read in the paper a couple days ago, a woman died. They said she had about $8 million. So she wrote her will. She gave $7 million to wounded cats and dogs. She gave the rest to her children. That is not an incorruptible inheritance. You see, that's not going to happen to you and I. God has said it will not. Therefore, we must believe that. If he said he's laying up treasure on the other side for you, he's preparing a place for you, believe him. He didn't lie to you. No cats and dogs are going to get my inheritance. The truth says we are kept, how long? Unto salvation Verse 5. That's long enough, isn't it? If you ever feel like he just seems to have left me, not true. Take hold of the word of God that said, I'm kept unto salvation. I'm not saved yet, therefore you go. Until the rapture, and then we won't have to worry about it. Truth says trials of faith produce something more precious than gold. Verse 7. Now that's encouraging to me, the price of gold nowadays. I see, I like gold, but I like something else better. Something better is happening when you begin to experience those trials and your faith is tested and you feel the heaviness, as it says in verse 6, greatly rejoice. You are gaining ground. Hallelujah. Truth says, though the world and worldly people despise you, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, you will receive praise and honor and glory. There will be a day that this is all exposed. There will be a vindication of God's church. Look forward to that day. Don't throw in the towel. Verse 8, I'll read it. Just the first part said, whom having not seen... Those that are pilgrims in this world, he said, whom have you not seen? You love. You love him. Even though you didn't see him, you love him. Even though you didn't feel him, you love him. Even though you may not feel love for him, you love him. You love him. You believe him. You rejoice. You are joyful. But your emotions may not say so. In fact, they may say otherwise. Don't give in to those lies. We are at war. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. I'll close with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I love you. I appreciate your willingness to yield to God in this hour. 10, verse 3, God is doing a mighty work here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Boy, we've got to wake up to that. Some of us are waiting. They say the war starts when I'm out there, the great evangelist, and I am buffeted, and I am fighting, and I am winning souls. Nay, the war is now. The war is now. We win and lose today. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. They're mighty through God too. How far? To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. We've got to cast down these imaginations. See how emotions work. They generally, a lying emotion that is, will come in, and immediately your mind will begin to imagine why. You may have an important meeting with someone that you feel is going to turn out negative. So you start feeling dejected, oppressed, all sorts of negative emotions. And sometimes you let your mind go to imagine the worst possible outcome. You're yielding to the demons. You've got to cast down these imaginations. The reference here is to the mind, and the battle is in the mind. Feelings often spur on imaginations, and these exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Some would read that and they'd say they're expecting men to come up and blaspheme the Holy Ghost and curse for a demon to manifest and begin to exalt itself above the knowledge of God. But this happens every day in our mind because we yield to it and we allow this demon to come in and give us everything that's contrary to the Word of God. But God wants us to gird up our minds and to bring all thoughts into captivity. If you will do this, I guarantee without a doubt that your trials will be quicker and easier than they would be if you do not do this. At the beginning of almost every trial you face of an emotional nature, there is an escape route. If you'll begin to look closely at the things that transpire in your mind, you will see the escape route generally manifests itself as truth, as the Word of God, as a positive thought, and you can take those. Or you can yield to the negative, because sometimes self-pity looks inviting. Sometimes rejection looks inviting. But you cannot do this any longer. We must begin to yield to the truth. Immediately when I begin to experience these things, I begin to say, Lord, see, I don't like pain. I don't like emotional pain or physical pain. And when I begin to experience this, I say, Lord, There's an escape route, something, there's a truth that if I were to lay hold of it now, I would be free. And God has, in His mercy, provided that every time I have thought to seek Him for it. If you will do that, you as well will be free. You see, if these lying spirits and emotions come upon us with a greater intensity, and we are not solidly committed to the Word of God and them that have the rule over us, we will fall. God wants us to be laying our life block upon block, line on line, as it says, upon His Word. We don't appropriate the Word. I'm amazed how we go through life and how little actual appropriating of the Word of God we do. Oh, we do it when we pray for the sick, but how about when we feel that negative emotion? Or we feel like, well, I don't know why I'm here. I guess I just lucked into this place. God has called you to a body of Christ. He desires that you function as part of the body of Christ. The path to victory is really quite easy. It's quite practical, and it's accessible by all. And I mean all. And so let's speak the word of truth in our heart and abide in the tabernacle of God, as it says in Psalms 15, 1 and 2. God bless you.